Hello, Through the Word, Psalm 39 today, a stirring reflection on life's brevity. Do you know those times when you just don't feel like talking? Here in Psalm 39, David has reason for reticence. He's been rebuked, disciplined by Almighty God. I know that feeling. Caught. I know I screwed up, and I just want to walk away, shut my mouth, and settle. Thoughts race around my head, and my stubborn heart broods and simmers to fight it, to blame someone else. But I know it's my fault. I did this. Ever been there? Caught by God, stewing in your own guilt as people pass this way and that, but you just want to settle your heart between you and the Lord. And eventually, you begin to observe, people watch, and as they hurry by, life comes into perspective. First you see them, then yourself. What am I doing? That's where I see David in Psalm 39. This one is raw and honest. Musically, I hear Adele on her 30 album. So let's dive in at verse 1. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remained utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. David is determined to stay quiet. I'll put a muzzle on my mouth. And he does it to keep his tongue from sin. It's that feeling when you know that words will just get you in more trouble. And notice the setting. In the presence of the wicked, he doesn't want to say something foolish. Not here. Not around them. Like a kid in trouble in public. You hold your tongue, but you feel Dad's gaze. That's David. Back in verse 2, so I remained utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. I can almost see David sitting alone on a public bench, people passing by. I picture it raining, but David's heart burns so hot he could set fire to that rain. Back in verse 3, while I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Finally, he can't take it. He's got to speak. He's got to vent. But watch who he vents to. Verse 4, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. David vents to the Lord. Did you know you can do that? Did you know you should do that? Cry your heart out, but cry it to God. He can handle it. And look what David cries. Show me, Lord, my life's end. That's a bold prayer. And the number of my days. Something deep is stirring in David's heart. Life's brevity is hitting home, and he can't shake it. He doesn't want to shake it. He wants the wisdom that comes in embracing it. When we were young, life rolled out like an endless winding road. But time passes, and those memories feel like a million years ago and yesterday all at once. David's feeling it, and he asks the Lord to show him. Remember the handwriting on Belshazzar's wall? Meni, Meni, Tekel, Parson. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Belshazzar hid from mortality. David faces it, like Ebenezer Scrooge staring at his own grave. Show me, Lord, let me know how fleeting my life is. Fleeting, frail, ceasing to be. That's life. Wisdom confronts it. Verse 5. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. David looks at his life on the timeline of history and sees it passing quickly, a mere handbreadth. Count the fingers, done. But watch his words. You have made my days. You, Lord. Life's brevity is God's doing. His wisdom has willed it. Why? Viewing the span of our years from God's perspective, we begin to understand. Everyone is but a breath. Now there's a word with deep Bible roots, breath. The Hebrew is hebel. It literally means breath, but also means fleeting, transitory, meaningless, vanity. It's the central theme to the Bible's great philosophical work in Ecclesiastes. Fantastic book, and its ruminations begin here in Psalm 39. Then again, they go further back to the very beginning. The first time the word hebel comes up is Genesis 4, and it's not a word, It's a name, Abel. Why would Adam and Eve name their son breath? Or worse yet, vanity. It's not the same word from Genesis 2 when God breathed life into Adam. This one is fleeting breath, here and gone. Why the name? My theory is that the word's meaning came after Abel. Abel was the very first person in the Bible to die quite suddenly, and his name became a reminder. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Selah. And in verse 6, surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. I picture David sitting quietly, as if God put him in time out. People coming and going all around. Why? What are they chasing? In vain they rush about. And there's that word again, hebel, vain. More pre-echoes of Ecclesiastes here. Don't you remember our Ecclesiastes study? Bad dates, dead monkeys? The Bible will return here often, and someone like you or me needs that reminder. I love the picture here of heaping up wealth, great big piles of it, without even knowing what or who it's for in the end. It's pointless, chasing wealth, chasing pavements, chasing the wind. But in verse 7, David turns his gaze. People watching is done. Daydreamer time is over. Time to reflect on his own life. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Ever look back at yourself after God catches you, and you realize you were acting like all the other fools, chasing empty dreams? David catches himself. What do I look for? I'm called higher. The word look is literally wait, like those who wait on the Lord in Isaiah 40. While everyone else goes chasing about all around me, I'm just standing here, in the way. So what am I waiting for? My hope is in you, Lord. Verse 8. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. Sort of like saying, please don't discipline me in front of the bullies. I was silent. I would not open my mouth. For you are the one who has done this. You are the one. God did this. You set life's brevity, and you disciplined me when I forgot it. Romans 8:20 echoes this. For creation was subjected to vanity, same word, by God's will. And God did it in hope that his creation and his children would be freed from the bondage to decay. That's the freedom of finding your treasures beyond this fleeting life. Now David is ready for time out to be done. You disciplined me, Lord. I had my priorities out of whack. You were turning tables on the money changers in my heart, and I see it now. But go easy on me, Lord. In verse 10, remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. Selah. There it is one last time. Hebel. Breath. Surely everyone is like Abel, gone in a breath. David is ready to move past his folly. It's water under the bridge now, and he closes with a request. Verse 12. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. David gets it. He's a foreigner in this life. The same word means house guest. We're all guests in God's great house, just passing through. Wise sojourners don't heap up bags of wealth to carry. They store up treasures at their destination. And notice, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Looking back on generations before, you see it. They all came and went. Interesting, foreigner and stranger is exactly how Abraham described himself when he buried his wife Sarah. David sees now that he is the same. So in verse 13, look away from me, that I may enjoy life again, before I depart and am no more. David needs closure on this discipline. Now don't read it wrong. He's not asking God to go away so he can get back to sinning. He just wants time out to be over. Can I get up now, Dad? Just as Ecclesiastes ends with a call to enjoy life, but not the empty life of chasing wind, really enjoy. Embrace the fleeting wind with open hands and live for eternal glory. Like Scrooge on Christmas morning, finally enjoying life for the first time. Glory is vanity's only antidote. But hold on, did I just hide my top 14 Adele songs in this guide? Maybe I did. Rumor has it I do stuff like that. Read Psalm 39 and listen again to see if you can find them.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.